Hello everyone, my name is Francis and this is Digital Drift podcast series. Once again, we are on episode 6. First, let's say it's been a long time since the last episode, having been away for a while, but right now we've put this in place to make sure, I mean, we are more regular than before. So the good news is that I'm not alone. You're not going to be bored to death listening to me. We have on the show today Antonia Ani joining us. Hi Antonia.
Hello, nice to be here. I am a designer basically and currently doing user experience design across a number of platforms. So I design for the web, I design for services that you get just in person. So online, offline kind of work. So everything from mobiles to physical products. So yeah, that's kind of what I do.
Good. And then also we have Okweyemi. You know, he's been anchoring the show alongside myself in the past.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be doing this once again. I'm glad to be back on the show. I'm a developer. I make things for the web and for mobile.
Cool. Good to be back. And Obina joining us for the show. Obina.
Yeah. My name is Obina. I'm an engineer turned developer. Yeah. So I'm a web developer as well. Web and mobile.
You know, there's nothing wrong with you saying you're a software engineer.
Okay. fair enough.
So we're starting today's episode with a lot of things making news around the world and, you know, queries on hand, basically to look at how these things reflect or kind of impact, you know, the Nigerian tech scene.
Yes. Today we are going to be looking at a few things. We're going to talk about wearables. That seems to be the in thing now. I mean, Apple Watch, Pebble 2, for example. Okay. I can remember watching their Kickstarter campaign, and at the point, it was just like, what's happening here? Apple Watch is coming shortly, I think April 25th. Right.
I think I got a request from Jumia basically asking me to pre-order or something like Jumia Konga and then Mall for Africa. Everybody wants to give me an Apple Watch. I mean, I didn't see a free button, but, you know.
Yeah, it's 24th. So, 24th of April.
Okay, 24th of April. And people can pre-order already. When you compare this to, say, Pebble, for example, to you as a consumer, which would you take, which would you prefer, and why?
Just to say, even before the whole, you know, watch wearable kind of took off, I think the likes of Google Glass was like a precursor to, you know, this whole, you know, industry that is opening up now.
I think before that, we had the whole series of fitness bands.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had the Jawbones, the Nike 4 band, but basically we had like those ones in some ways leading the charge in terms of wider range of consumers that were going to accept it.
You know, when I think about wearables, one thing that comes to mind is, what's it called? Human computer interaction. I don't know why. You know, I don't know if you've seen Elysium. People were plugging computers into their brains and everything and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, regarding wearables, I personally don't even wear a watch. I stopped wearing watches about 4 years ago. And when this came up, this whole idea of wearables, it was exciting, not for me as a consumer, but as a designer in the sense that how much constraint can we design for? Like, you know, just that sense of designing around a particular set of constraints. And the watch offers that as well. It really reduces the space you can walk with and, you know, just thinking about things in a different way. I was skeptical at first, but I had a chat. I asked some people who work in this popular company and they gave me this idea. You know, there was this thing they used to do back then called the 5K competition. I don't know if any of you have heard about it.
What was it about?
5K, it's about designing an application that would only run... Sorry?
Yeah, I knew...
Oh, yeah.
I knew 10K, yeah. 10K, there was 10K, right?
Sorry.
Then there was
10K, 5K. 5K. So yeah, it was a, you know, trying to see how your, you know, those creative sparks are going to explode in your brain. Like, how can you design something with those constraints? And I think that's what the Apple Watch and all the other watches offer to us. I think, I guess at the time when Apple was bringing out, you know, iPod, all these kind of things, there were people saying, oh, am I going to use this? Are we going to use this? Great. But we've all seen where it's come through. I think we need to be quite optimistic about the challenges that we have before us. And, you know, we've seen it time and time over again that what we think right now, you know, we get into the future and it's completely different in the sense that we're using these things in ways that we didn't even think about. So I think it's important that we see these watches not just as what they've been produced as now, or what the features the Apple Watch has, for example, but as a challenge, as view it as something to, you know, spark creativity, think more about the future and what we could use it for. So I think that's kind of where my thoughts around wearables. I've, you know, posted something on my blog in terms of a wearable, what I would prefer to have. Since that's not developed, I can wait. But, you know, people are going to use whatever, you know, helps their life do whatever they want to do, I guess. Just...
You want to share what that is with us?
I called it a brain to text device, where, because I have this problem where I am thinking something, but when I start to talk, it just comes out like a jumble of stuff. In my mind, I'm really articulate, but when I start to speak, it's just, it goes downhill. So I was thinking, why not, I mean, a device that takes those inputs from my brain and converts it to text, so I can, you know, look at what I'm thinking about, and it comes out in a text format, and I can edit that. I mean, it could just be, what I thought of was something that I put on just close to your head.
Yeah.
You could put it on your ear or something. So it just takes those signals, sends it to your phone, which has the application, converts it to text, and you can edit or see exactly, so you don't lose what you're thinking, basically.
You know, that sounds so futuristic, right?
it does sound futuristic, but I have seen some technology updates that says it reached that level, so I'm optimistic. My goodness.
I mean, we've been talking about wearables. You know Victor Dibia?
Yeah.
Victor Dibia, Nigerian developer, now faculty in university in Hong Kong, you know, was featured, I think, on the Wall Street Journal. He's someone I think we could also, you know, get on the show to give us more insights.
That would be relevant. Just to round up, the Apple Watch is out for pre-order already. So if you're thinking of getting one, you can start ordering.
Wow.
Pebble 2 comes out, starts shipping May. Okay, I don't know when it will be available for people that didn't back the Kickstarter campaign. But for those that backed the Kickstarter campaign, it starts shipping May. So I think that's one watch I'm really looking forward to, actually.
Interesting. So very good. I think that sums up the news roundup for this episode.
Okay, so, I mean, this is a... Did I say problem or challenge across the world at the moment from what I've observed? But I'm concerned about Nigeria, and thankfully we have someone here who is in the scene that could better answer the questions I have. So one big thing for me is, yes, there's a drive to get people to code in tech, but you realize that coding is only... one part of the tech world, but we're not talking about helping people who do not want to code at all, like get into be it design or marketing or content writing or, you know, sales or just the various and myriad things that add to tech. People want to be in tech, but they don't necessarily want to code. So my question is just around what I know that, you know, there's the big, there's Andela, how do you pronounce it? I just saw something recently on Facebook just today about, we're going to teach people how to code and all that stuff. So who is helping build the rest of the people? Because what's going to happen is, because I see that as the pipeline we're going, is we're going to be replicating the problems that they've had here as well, where you had a lot of years around applications which were tech driven, and now people are running helter-skelter, UX, this and that, you know, let's fix this. There's a lot of firefighting in UX at the moment. So the thing is, we are going on that path where we're going to either be doing the same thing that has happened here, I mean, here as the UK and the US and the West and all of that. So we seem to be going down that same route, which is a lot of tech code-driven things at the start, and then people start firefighting and user experience design, blah, 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 coming up towards the tail end. We have the advantage of seeing what has happened, and we have the advantage of building properly from the start. But I still see that we seem to be going the same old routes. So I don't know if you can give me an insight to what's happening around maybe specifically the UX design side of things. Who is helping build those talents? What are the workshops? Who is running things? You know, let me know.
Now it's a good time. Basically, just give us a rundown of what you do, how you got doing that, and then Antonia's question: who is building, you know, the designers of tomorrow?
Yeah, my name is Odeza Kene. I'm a designer. I'm the UX lead here at CC Hub. CC Hub is Lagos, Nigeria. Yep. And so, how did this all start? So I started off as a developer, I'd like to think, and my attraction to software development was basically from the notion that I could create systems that other people will use, and basically I could literally build a world in quotes, where other people can exist, have interactions, do some things, and I'll have total and absolute control of everything they do.
Wow.
Yes. Sounds sinister. Yeah, yeah. But hey, that was the attraction. That was how this all started. So I did development for a while until I moved to Lagos. I did development and I did my own designs, like side by side, and until I moved to Lagos. And I moved to Lagos, say, five, six years ago. Yeah. Lagos from Nnewi is Anambra State. About five, six years ago, went to NIT, did some basic bit of training, then found the whole world of web development. And I wouldn't say I found it there, because prior to that, I already started developing apps with PHP, but I made the exact connection of being a web designer, you know, in that sense of doing that. And fast forward, CC Hub started, and I came, that was 3 years ago, and I came for a hackathon here. So while everybody in the team, it was the water hackathon, I think that was the second hackathon that CC Hub ever did. So everybody on my team at the point were like talking about what they would do or what they would contribute to the project that we were going to do. And everybody around me were all developers. And so I'll ask this person, so you do what's PHP? Okay. So what do you code with? He says KPHP. I'm like, I've been struggling to get the whole MVC framework thing. I've struggled with that for a while, and I still write sequential PHP. So I'm like, okay, so yeah, Badu. I asked the other guy, he's like PHP, what, he uses Zend. I'm like, oh my lord. I asked the other person, he said he does Python. He now adds, it's more of Django. I'm like, okay. Then from everybody, everyone on my team, nobody wanted to design the platform, or nobody said anything about it. I'm like, oh, okay, so you all are going to code, I'm going to design. And from there onwards, I spotted the trend that everybody was going towards the whole development routes, and nobody was paying serious attention to design. That was the point. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to take time off. I'm going to take time off development and fully focus on design. Yeah. And yeah, I've been doing that for design only for, three years plus. Yeah, so user experience design. Of course, while you do the designs and, you know, read all the books and articles and all that, you start spotting trends or like a certain career path. Of course, I did some of those things, like doing your wireframes and all that, but I didn't exactly understand what's it called? What am I looking for? See, the methodology, not even the methodology, like the system behind it. Until I stumbled on the whole concept of human-centered design and user experience design by extension. And I've been doing that for, or paying more attention to that for the last 2 years.
So you basically came from, well, a UI kind of perspective, then you wanted to connect more with your users, okay, because you mentioned human-centered design and all that, and UX was like the next logical thing there.
So when
we talk about UX, okay, because these days, sorry to say, I see a lot of people slap UX to the end of their name, right? I mean, everyone like says, I mean, UI, UX, designer, but clearly they can go side by side. Is that all, I mean, goes that, sorry, is that all what goes side by side with UX? Is it just UI and what else?
No, not really. I mean, there's a whole lot of other things about UX. There's the research bit, where you go out and have those conversations and trying to find out who you're building for. Then there is the iterative testing bit, where you do things and try to get feedback from users.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's I'd like to think there's a whole lot more. UI is just a really tiny part of user experience. Your user experience.
I'm sorry to jump in, but I don't think that's accurate to say UI is a tiny bit. UI is the interface between what you've designed and what the person is going to interact with. So to say it's a tiny bit, it's a bit of
playing down.
Okay, so
when I say it's a tiny bit, I don't mean that it is like negligible.
Less important or something.
Absolutely not. It is not. I mean, the copywriting.
The content, right?
Yeah, the content. I mean, it all goes together to what user experience is.
Okay. Cool. Now, you're doing a lot of work at the CC Hub. You know, you care to share what kind of work you do, you know?
Okay. So, most of the time, like, I'm sitting down with people working with different startups and trying to play advisory role to how they should shape their products. Yeah?
Okay.
Beyond that, I also like actively get involved in designing or developing a product. The most recent will be the NigeriaElections.org. It's this platform.
That was the talk of the town. Yeah.
And prior to that, GoVote, which was also the election center. Those are the most recent two I could point to.
Antonia, is this a good, you know, intro to where you wanted this conversation to go?
Okay, just a quick thing. One of the things as a UX designer I'm looking at the moment, especially if I'm going into a company or looking at the way people work, three main things is how you engage with your users, how you engage with clients, and how you engage with your community in terms of building up people and building up your team as well.
So part of literally the MX lab or the mobile experience lab here at CCO was set up to help, so in lots of ways, help grow the UX community. I mean, that is, it's literally most of the things that we have conversations about here. And last year we had a couple of workshops, or we had three UX focused workshops. We had people from Microsoft coming on at three different points in the year, and the workshop was attended by an average of 30 people, per workshop. Okay. Yeah. And of course, the for us, the idea is to raise awareness about UX, both as a theme and as a career path, you know. So people know that there is something called UX and product design and product development. There are people called UX designers, and that is what they do. They're not developers. They are UX designers. And to follow that up, this year last year also, I think we had a conversation around having a UX training here at CC Hub. Victor, Anthony, I think we were in that conversation, and Bosun, yeah. And we're always looking at opportunities to have those kind of trainings. This year, we already have the Google. The Google Masterclass. Yep, the Google Masterclass lined up. It's happening in May. In June, CC Hub, every year we have this program called Code Camp, which is basically bring people who have little or no experience with coding, sit them in a room for 1 month, all expense paid. We provide accommodation, feed, everything for the whole of 1 month, and teach them to code. Yeah, but this year, we're doing the same thing, but instead of doing programming, we're trying to build the next generation of user experience designers. So for the whole 1 month, they are going to be learning how to be UX designers and how to practice, and with the goal that when they are done with that session, they can join companies and, you know, help raise the game in whatever company that they are going to end up in. Added to that, we have the UX meetup. We started last year, and we have one meetup at the end of every month, every last Thursday of the month. Basically, we bring together people who have interest in user experience design, some level of interest, developers, designers, and in some cases we had graphic designers show up, which was interesting and which was very welcome. Yeah, so we have some sort of movement that we're starting, and yeah, for us the idea or the goal is to raise awareness and let more and more people come up as UX designers, let companies become more aware of UX design and let them be able to integrate it in their own processes in product development. And yeah, now that I'm going to add it here, I'm going to come harass Anthony and see if she's free in June to come down and spend 1 week with us.
Yay.
Anthony, your laugh is not even weird. But yeah, I'm going to come back and do that. But this is a heads up, it's coming.
Okay. Thanks. That was good to hear what you're doing in this space. So yeah, thank you.
One thing has been pointed out very clearly here, and Antonia's question really, you know, if we don't do these things, right, I mean, we'll probably find ourselves in one form of crisis or the other very soon. But from the part of, you know, designers or students or people who want to go into UX, what do you think are like the obstacles? Why do you think more people, you know, drift towards the coding and we have fewer people in the UI and the UX or the UX space?
I'll use a scenario of Unilag, the computer science department. Okay. Yeah. So for people there, the idea is that, hey, you must know how to code. Like, there is no way out of it. The only way to graduate is you have to learn to code, even if it means you have to go cram some things, and some blocks of code and come and regurgitated in the exam hall. Nobody cares. But the point is, you must know how to code. And this is something that is being rehashed in the minds and heads of people that attend, that go through that whole, go through the university or go through that department, that you must learn how to code. So they are not exactly being exposed to other things that are available. Yeah, so eventually, if you ask someone that is studying computer science, what are you going to do? They are going to tell you that if the person doesn't know how to code, then after computer science, what, we go work in a bank. Yeah, but that I think that's part of the challenge.
So the curriculum in schools doesn't make room for that kind of stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It doesn't for them. Yeah, for them. Everything computer science is all about code.
Antonio, you mentioned similar problem with the UK. Would you say the course was also the curriculum in schools and all that?
Just like what Kenny has said earlier, it's a sense of awareness of what can I do in tech. People, you know, we're bombarded by code everywhere. It's everywhere, and that's what people think they have to do to be in tech. So when I came to this country, I had no idea there was anything like user experience design, but I had an idea of what I wanted to do in design. I was already working as a graphic designer in Nigeria, but I wanted to move beyond that. So going into the course I went to, which was a design school, actually gave me that sense of, oh, this is what you could do. But even transitioning from school to the workplace, there was something missing in that bit, which told me, okay, this is, you know, what the this is where you could apply your skills. I didn't have that. Had to search for stuff myself. And you tend to see a lot of people going through that process. And for some people, it takes a longer amount of time. The great thing about UX is that you can go into UX from any background. You've got people who study psychology, got people who study, you know, marketing. What you bring to UX is your passion about people and wanting to do something, develop better, and also the flexibility or the willingness to learn more skills that help you do that. Of course, some people are going to be, you know, very good in design as a small d design, doing the work, which is great, but that's not all you need for UX. So yes, here we find that as a problem as well. So you've got a lot of initiatives like Design in Tech, which is trying to bring an awareness of design. Earlier in a school setting, as in the workshops around kids, helping them learn how to think, because it all starts from a mindset of how do you think about solving problems. That's all design is. So we are facing that problem, and there are a lot of things coming up now to solve it. And I think that we should, in Nigeria, not be waiting to how they've solved it. We should be doing things as well in parallel, which, you know, just makes it better, because we are at the foundation stage. So, two main things. The curriculum, yes. Then there's the awareness of it. And then when you transition from school to the workplace, there's something that is needed there as well.
Can I maybe you will throw some light on this, because I spoke with a designer some while back. He was basically doing this remote collabo with some other developer. I mean, he was being brought into that project, and he told me, I mean, we're basically talking about remuneration, and he was saying that, look, okay, he doesn't think the offer would be more than this amount, okay, let's say X amount, because the developer on the project is being paid 2x. So I was like, my God, I mean, why do you have to think that way? I mean, because I was like, design is what people see. I mean, it's, you know, you are the UX person, you are the one, you know, this is what people are going to see first before even any other thing. I mean, the developer. So why would designers here think or have that kind of, you know, kind of inferiority complex, you would say? Yep. I mean, when they put them side by side with developers, why is it that way?
I think it's what I'd say our society has bred into their mindset.
You know, sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, if I could just basically put my hand out of the window and pull in a developer, like you're saying, and then, but it's still difficult for me to find designers, then designers should actually be more, compensated. Don't you think so?
Yep. I totally agree. I mean, that's my own thought process to it as well. But I don't think everybody has this awareness of how much services I need in the ecosystem.
Okay.
Which is why he would have that kind of thinking that, hey, he should earn X. I mean, I was having a similar conversation with someone on what I think the future of tech in Nigeria would be. Yeah, and I think my answer to him was that I see like more people coming into tech, and I think I'll use that same analogy to answer it. The reason is, at the moment, people are not earning much, yeah, and it basically we don't have money. It's the truth. We don't have the same kind of, yeah. We are not that rich. If you do the conversion to dollars of what we have, yeah, it's not enough.
Sorry,
to pay.
Who is we? We are not. Who is we?
Okay, so we.
Is it the same Nigeria that I know people earn 10 million per month? Who is we?
Not people in tech. Not necessarily people in tech. Yeah, people and you know. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, people earn like a whole lot of money. Yep. But in tech, this is still a somewhat fresh ground for investment. So that's kind of money still not circulating here. And I told him that, hey, over time, that kind of money will start circulating, yeah? And with that comes, you know, techies driving the latest cars in town, you know, that kind of thing. So mothers can look at some guy and be like, what does this guy do, yeah? They say he's a developer, yeah? And they'll be like, the mother will turn to the child and be like, oh, yeah, so you'll be a developer, B? Yeah. So our success at this point is still celebrated within the ecosystem in quotes. Our success in quotes is still celebrated within the ecosystem. So if the society at large, I mean, their metric for success is, of course, money. Yeah. So if techies begin to have that kind of money that societies are aware of, yeah, then that sort of rush to be part of it will be, and yeah, that also applies to the designer guys.
Yeah.
Okay. I can just quickly comment on that, just based on the money, because I was having a few conversations around the how designers or how developers talk and how they pitch their business to pitch what they do to businesses. The thing is, the business is looking at what value is this person bringing to my business. And yep. If you're going to speak in developer or designer terms and terminology, it's not just going to happen. So there's a lot that the designers and developers have to do themselves in interfacing with the business side of things and as they go to pitch their ideas and all this kind of stuff, I think is really important to do. Because what's going to happen in Nigeria, and I see that coming up quite fast, is that you've got all this accounting auditing firms, PwC,
yep.
Deloitte.
Yep.
They bought up all the design agencies here. And I know they have legs in Nigeria. And when they come in, you have a design consultant there in Deloitte, for example, and they go into a company, they're going to charge what they charge anywhere.
Yeah.
And that is really going to show the smaller guys that are still thinking, oh, whatever, this business is not, you know, getting me or whatever. That's going to happen. And the value from that side of things is going to go up. Like businesses will pay whatever. So I think it's really important that you guys that to work on how they're presenting design and development to the business in terms of the business terms, what value they bring into their own ecosystem. If not, you know, people are going to, the big consulting firms will just take over everything.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I think, how do you say, there's a ray of hope, you know, with what you're doing, Kenneth, at the CC Hub and with what CC Hub is doing in terms of building people and trying to close that divide, that gap which we have in that space. It will be interesting to see how this compares with the UK market. I mean, you know, we have Antonia there, right? So so it will be interesting to see, especially, you know, because sometimes you look out there and you see UX focused companies. I mean, I think we're still a long way from, you know, reaching that in Nigeria. I don't know anyone.
Yep.
I'm talking about large companies, maybe having staff strength over 50 and all that kind of stuff, just focused on UX and doing UX related work. So it's something that would be interesting to see how those companies, you know, solved the problems around their own environment, the similar problems we're talking about, and how they were able to, you know, grow, I mean, to what they've become. So any last words, Kenny? I mean, you mentioned some dates, but you were not precise. You said May.
Okay, so on the 1st and 2nd of May.
Okay.
Oh, God, I hope I'm not getting this mixed up. Yeah, 1st and 2nd of May, we have the Google Masterclass. Sometime in June, a date hasn't been fixed yet. Yeah, but I know for a fact, sometime in June, we're going to start the 30 days code camp that is going to be focused on user experience design.
Okay. And if you want Antonia there, you better start quickly.
Okay. Just trying to put together a couple of things so I know exactly what I'll be asking her for.
So, Antonia, it's exciting, right? What's happening down here, no?
It is. I meet Nigerians here and we're always talking about, oh gosh, there's so much opportunity. I don't know.
So any last words, Kenneth?
Last words. I'd say in your own individual communities. I won't say this to Antonia because I know she's doing that by default. But every other person, like, I'd say raise awareness of the importance of proper user experience design in product development. Yeah, and hopefully to draw my attention to what we do. Yeah, think that's it.
Thanks. Okay, Obina, Antonia, we have really overshot it today, but it was very engaging. I think we could all say bye, and on that note, till next time.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.